send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, friends and family. I'm glad that you're taking the time to listen to the message that Yahweh has given me this week. I'm sorry to have to tell you that he didn't call me on the phone. He didn't speak to me in an audible voice like apparently he does to some of the 501c3 government-owned, quote, church preachers. But nonetheless, through the study and meditation on his word, his written word, and on principles gleaned from understanding his perfect will for his creation, I've got a message that will be delivered from the word of God to his sheep. Kingdom Conference 2020 has a new date, the month they call September 17th through the 20th, and I hope you'll get this on your calendar and begin to make plans to join us during this time. I'll have more details coming soon. As you well know, with the exception of a few comments here and there, I haven't spent much time dealing with the plandemic, the plandemic, the scandemic, the Corona hoax ID 2020, but I can't help but make just a few observations this morning. I've made it very clear that I absolutely believe this is fake. When people tell me, quote, there are people dying all over the place, I don't let them get away with it. It's not true. But I know someone who works in a hospital. Yeah, sure. In Springfield, Missouri, we hear of multiple accounts where people are no longer working in the hospital. Nurses are being laid off because there is no work for them to do. Don't try to tell me that there are coronavirus nurse specialists and others are sent home. That's ridiculous. I don't believe it. Drive past the hospitals in Springfield, Missouri today. They look like ghost towns. Okay, worldwide, 1,722,308 people supposedly had the coronavirus, and deaths, 104,775. And they managed to shut the world down over these statistics. The United States CDC reported last year in the U.S. alone the disease burden of influenza as many as 44,995,691 contracted the flu, and as many as 52,664 died from it. Yet very few people in the U.S. even know this. In the year before, as many as 58 million people contracted the flu, and as many as 95,000 died from it. Yet hardly anyone knew those numbers, much less cared about it. As recently as the 29th of February, Anthony Ferrucci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said there was no need to panic, no need to fear, no need to change lifestyle. Then a few weeks later claimed that millions would die. Then Trump, and of course he's going to blame it on someone else, but he claimed that 100,000 to 200,000 Americans were going to die. Then they dropped that number about a week later to 80,000. Then yesterday they dropped it to 60,000, while it sits below 20,000 with, quote, health officials now putting out documents, doing everything they can to make sure that every single death they can come up with is caused by the, quote, COVID-19 virus. They are lying. And they are managing to get nearly every single person in their health system, every single media talking puppet, and the great majority of their sheeple perpetuating this great swindle. And even after being exposed for another lie, I heard them again on the local news here saying that the baby, okay, the infant, born 22 weeks premature, barely halfway there, was delivered 22 weeks prematurely only to die from the coronavirus. How stupid can people be? According to the local media in Springfield, whenever someone has died from, quote, COVID-19 in Greene County, the ominous sounding death toll rises. Another Greene County resident has died from COVID-19, bringing the death toll to six. Well, this makes the fifth resident of Morningside Assisted Living Community to succumb to the dreaded disease. The man in his late 90s had been in hospice care for the last 10 weeks. Our deep felt condolences go out to this man's family. Tragic, just tragic. These people in hospice in their 80s and 90s are tragically dying. I mean, it's such a shock. We just can't believe that all these people, this death toll, this pandemic crisis, people are just dying all around us. If someone says the word several to you, what comes to mind? To me, it's usually three. Usually more than two, because for two, I mean, we most likely would say a couple. But to me, several is usually three. If it's more than that for some of you, who cares? Doesn't make a bit of difference. But on the news last night, it was reported that four people who had been ordered to, quote, stay at home in Christian County, Missouri. Well, isn't that ironic? But four people who were, quote, staying at home were found dead in their homes. Now, to me, that's tragic. That's a tragedy. That's an injustice. But after the, quote, death toll from COVID-19 was reported at six, this story headlined with, quote, several people have died after well-being checks were conducted. The media is so blatantly obvious in their part of keeping this hoax going. There is an agenda. It's not from a physical disease. This is a mental disease, and it's called insanity. And I'm telling you, it is the result of rejecting God's laws. It is the result of men creating their own religions, their own statues, then persuading men and women, boys and girls, some with physical threats, to obey and submit to these wicked creations of men. In last week's message, we looked at John 17, and we saw the words of Christ saying that he did not pray for the world. Well, not long after the conclusion of the message, Jeff sent me a note, and it had Jeremiah 14:11 attached to it. For a few minutes this morning, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 14. And in order to get to verse 11, let's begin at verse 1. And remember now, as we read this passage, that these prophetic words have already been fulfilled. But, and listen now, principles remain. We learn from the historical record of the scripture. We see what to do and what not to do. The cursings that were prophesied and came upon Judah do not have to come on us. Don't read text like this and say that our outcome has to be the same. We can make change. When our sin is exposed to us, we repent, we change our ways, and the outcome can change. All right, verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 14. The word of Yahweh that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. All right, dearth means drought, withholding of rain. The withholding of rain is just about always. It just about always denotes rough times for people. No rain, no crops, no food. It is normally a time where men are being punished by Yahweh for a failure to remain faithful to him. All right, not always, but most times in scripture, it's punishment. Verse 2. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are blackened to the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. See, they knew that it was their fault. That's why they were ashamed. That's why they were embarrassed. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. And when the drought comes, the hard times come. And some of the people pray, verse 7, Yahweh, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. In America today, I can't recall hearing any prayers where the people are admitting that their iniquities and their backslidings are testifying against them. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm just saying I haven't heard it. Instead, I'm seeing the arrogant rise up with even more arrogance and claiming that they will find the, quote, cure and they will be the savior of the world. Verse 8, oh, the hope of Israel, the savior thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? I hope that when you heard the words of the first part of this verse, your ears stood up to attention. When I read these, the hair on the back of my head stood up. What is the hope of Israel? Do you remember? Do you remember Acts 28? Turn with me to Acts chapter 28 real quick and let's look at verse number 20. Acts 28 and verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Now drop down to verse 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Now watch. Here's the hope of Israel that Paul was preaching. This is the salvation message he was delivering. This is the message that had him locked up in jail in chains. But this message, though difficult for Paul and others to preach, this was the hope of Israel in Jeremiah's time as he was prophesying to Judah. And this is the hope of Israel that Paul was preaching in the first century, verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And brothers and sisters in Christ today, this is still the hope of Israel. This is still the Savior of Israel. The kingdom of God as a present day reality right now is the hope of Israel. And for most of us living today, we've been taught all our lives that the kingdom of God is future. If the kingdom of God is future, there is no hope. The hope of Israel is the kingdom of God. And the hope for the rest of the world is for Israelites to preach to them the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that gospel message is that every knee bow and every tongue confess that this Jesus, whom they slew and hung on a tree, God hath made him both Lord and Savior. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, and that includes every man that calls himself falsely a king, every man that calls himself falsely a president or falsely a governor, every one of them is to bow the knee, repent that they have made governments to themselves, repent of their iniquities, their legal injustices, their definitions of good and evil, right and wrong, turn from their legalities and submit to the kingdom of God. Unless and until this happens, there will be no face of God turned to the land. It cannot happen. It will not happen. God will not, God cannot go against his own will, his laws, his statutes and judgments. He doesn't make exceptions. He doesn't allow loopholes. He's plainly declared in his word what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, and it's in stone. Yahweh, unlike the quote leaders in the world, is not a two-faced, double-minded, blown with every wind man. The hope of Israel for all time, since before the foundation of the world, the hope of Israel is the kingdom of God. All right, go back to Jeremiah chapter 14, please, and let's look at verse 9. Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished or astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? All the way back in Jeremiah's day, men were the same as they are today. Mighty men operating outside the authority and power of Yahweh cannot save. Do you know how painful it is as a preacher to hear others? I mean, people that you love, people that you care about, people that you know are listening to you preach. It's painful to hear those people say that Trump is coming to the rescue or the Constitution is the answer. Mighty men operating outside of the kingdom of God cannot save. Listen, I heard Donald Trump say yesterday, quote, "I am a Christian." But sadly, in the same voice, I heard him say that he was, quote, "having church via computer with Robert Jeffers." And Christianity and churchianity are not the same thing. A man can sit there and call himself a Christian until he's blue in the face or red in the face, but that doesn't make it so. Churchianity is a religion, a man-made religion that is an extension of a godless state, and the hope of Israel, if taught at all, is taught as a futuristic pie in the sky, not for today. Jews are God's chosen people, damnable heresy that was created for the purpose of keeping people from finding the kingdom of God. And it wasn't created to keep the evil people from finding the kingdom. It was created to keep seeking people from finding it. And it's worked really well. Listen to me, friends. If a, quote, preacher is coming to you in the name of a, quote, church, you better be careful. There is no God-given authority for the word church to even be in our English Bibles, let alone be the foundation for our faith or system of belief based on the truths of God's word. We better wake up to this, and we better be boldly proclaiming to our loved ones if they're still caught up in that heresy called church. Continuing in verse 9 of Jeremiah 14. Yet thou, O Yahweh, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name, leave us not. Thus said Yahweh unto this people. All right, better listen up. Yahweh's getting ready to reveal his mind to people. He's getting ready to tell people what his will is. Listen now. Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore Yahweh doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Oh, my word. Remember, the people were in desperation to begin this chapter. They were in the middle of a drought. No rain, no food. Then they began to cry out to Yahweh. We know we've sinned. We know we've committed iniquity. But regardless of our rebellion, we're still your people. Please help us. Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore Yahweh doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquities and visit their sins. Where did we ever get the idea that we can live any way we want to, do anything we want to, create our own religions, create our own governments, create our own laws and statutes, set up ourselves constitutions and presidents and senators and representatives and judges that not only care nothing for the scriptures, but many times publicly show disdain for the immutable, unchanging, unwavering, ever-relevant laws of God? We've chosen to do our own thing. We've publicly chosen which laws we will serve. Then when things start to crumble around us, we marvel that Yahweh is not there to save. It's because of false religion created by the church and the churchmen, who are merely extensions of the state. I laughed out loud when I saw the video of the woman that they call governor in Kansas, who said she ordered the shutdown of Kansas churches. I mean, right in front of everyone, she's making it clear that the, quote, churches are owned by the state. The churches are Kansas businesses, just like all the other businesses in Kansas. The state owns and controls the, quote, church, and the state can determine when the church is open and when the church is closed. the, quote, church in Kansas is under the, quote, jurisdiction of the state, and the state will tell it what its operating hours are or what they can and cannot be. The, quote, church does not exist by the authority of Christ. Christ is not the head of the, quote, church. The state is. And though some of us have been shouting this for many, many years, today it's everywhere. It's in everyone's faces, and they still don't get it. Church is the religious arm of the state. Christianity is followers of Christ serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, trying to call others out of the kingdoms / governments of men and into the kingdom of God. Remember at the start of this message, I reminded us that Christ said in John 17 in his prayer, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that thou hast given me. In Jeremiah's day, the land was in a drought, no doubt caused by the people's refusal to follow Yahweh. And now Jeremiah is saying in verse 11, Then said Yahweh unto me, Pray not for this people for their good. Friends, we need to be very careful about how we pray today. America is a, quote, nation, albeit redefined from what the real definition of nation is, but America is made up of people who have embraced the slaughter of millions of babies. They've embraced sodomite marriages. America is a people made up of freaks and queers and perverts, and for a great part, those that aren't freaks and queers and perverts not only accept it, but defend it. I'm not saying that Yahweh sent the coronavirus as punishment, because I don't believe that it is anything different than the flu. Well, maybe it's a mutated version of the flu, but I don't believe it's killing any more people than the flu is. But the fallout from all this is punishment. We are absolutely seeing thens from the ifs that Yahweh has said for thousands of years will occur to people who refuse to follow his laws. America is without excuse. America, quite possibly more than any other place on earth today, should know the truth. But it stays in a constant state of rebellion and defiance. At least Judah gave some lip service to Yahweh in trying to find a solution to their crisis. But I'm sorry, but standing up at a news conference and saying, I'm a Christian, in no way compares even to what Judah said in Jeremiah 14, now verse 12. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. Knowing without a doubt that the people today are being destroyed because they've listened to the voices of strangers, they followed the ministers of Satan's, transformed into angels of light. It isn't surprising at all to hear and read comments from the churchians who are saying that their deliverance is soon coming. On the pages where I read comments from people who are angry about all this hoax going on, and where I see people that are seeing through the hoax and seeing the coming mandated testing and vaccinations, I see a lot of, quote, churchian commenters who are telling people that we are now entering the, quote, tribulation period. Then I read other, quote, churchians correcting the record and telling people, no, this is not the, quote, tribulation period, because the, quote, church will not be here during the tribulation. It's going to be raptured away. Where there are people seeing through the propaganda, and friends, there is no rapture. Rougher times are coming. And we better gird up our loins with the hope of Israel and be ready to stand. For the follower of Christ, cast out fear. This is possibly the greatest time I've ever seen in my life to be a follower of Christ. Obey God. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand, 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 that we may be able to stand against the wiles of devils. Come on now, do we believe this? Do we serve the same God that delivered his faithful people? Pray not for the world. Pray for Yahweh's faithful. The world has made its choice. The world has made its bed. And it's time for the world to lay in it. Pray for Yahweh's faithful. These people that are offering the false hope of rapture are like the false prophets from the first century, when every single sign given was foreshowing the imminent destruction of Jerusalem. And it was said of the liars and false prophets by Josephus in Book 6, verse 2, quote, "Thus did the miseries of Jerusalem grow worse and worse every day. And the seditious were still more irritated by the calamities they were under, even while the famine preyed upon themselves after it had preyed upon the people. And indeed, the multitude of carcasses lay in heaps, one upon another, was a horrible sight." Then chapter 5, paragraphs 2 and 3. "Now there was then a great number of false prophets, suborned by the tyrants to impose on the people, who denounced this to them, that they should wait for deliverance from God. And this was in order to keep them from deserting, and that they might be buoyed up above fear and care by such hopes. Now a man that is in adversity does easily comply with such promises. For when such a seducer makes him believe that he shall be delivered from those miseries which oppress him, then it is that the patient is full of hopes of such his deliverance. Thus were the miserable people persuaded by these deceivers, and such as belied God himself, while they did not attend nor give credit to the signs that were so evident and did so plainly foretell their future desolation, but like men infatuated, without either eyes to see or minds to consider, did not regard the denunciations that God made to them. Thus there was a star resembling a sword which stood over the city, and a comet that continued a whole year," end quote of Josephus. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse number 14. "Then Yahweh said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh concerning the prophets that prophesy my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour out their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble." Now listen, please, hear this. Yahweh has not utterly rejected Judah today. Yahweh has not utterly rejected Israel today. But Yahweh has absolutely rejected the United States of America. Yahweh has absolutely rejected the Cortes Generales, the Council of Ministries and Deputies of Spain. Yahweh has absolutely rejected the Kingdom of England. All man-made, quote, governments that have been created since AD 70, Yahweh has utterly rejected them, unless those civil governments have been built on the kingdom of God and the law, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh, period. If people are following any laws, statutes, or judgments that are not Yahweh's in the new covenant world, Yahweh has utterly rejected them. We need to stop this nonsense that the United States of America was built on the Bible, that its laws are based on the Bible. They are not. The Constitution is not based on the Bible. We are fooling ourselves today if we believe this. It is not true. The United States problems are not new. They are not a result of turning away from the original Constitution. In 1797, the Treaty of Tripoli stated that the United States of America was not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. And I see that as Christian in the correct sense of the term. The men who founded the United States used churchianity to wherever it would benefit them, and Christianity was abolished. Judah cried out in Jeremiah 14, verse 20, "We acknowledge, O Yahweh, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain, or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Yahweh, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things." I see absolutely no admission of guilt by anyone in the, quote, United States government, and rarely am I seeing anything from the lips of the people. As a result, I'm seeing all sorts of crazy, insane solutions to this problem, whether real or imaginary, and, quote, solutions that, if followed, will drive men further away from the perfect will of God for his creation. Lightening up for just a little bit here. Seeing all the double-mindedness in action right now is actually quite comical. I mean, for instance, just 2 weeks ago, if a man would have walked into, say, a bank with a mask on his face, mass hysteria would have erupted. Alarms would sound. Guns would be drawn. The cops would swarm. I mean, it'd be a major scene created by this man walking into the bank with a mask on. Yet 2 weeks later, if you could even find a bank that was open, if a man walks into the bank without a mask on, he might possibly create hysteria and panic. Amazing what mind control takes place when Yahweh has smitten people with insanity because they've refused to obey his laws. Last week, Michael told me that he wouldn't be surprised if the, quote, government ordered people to wear diapers on their faces, and the people then would obey. Well, then the very next day, there was an article that a Tennessee doctor was telling people that they should wear diapers, that diapers provided better protection than the regular masks. I mean, how laughable. The people act like babies. They act like they need to be told what to do, where to go, what to eat, where to breathe, stay in their house jails. They act like babies, and their government is making them look like babies, and they still don't get it. Psalm 59:1, "Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquities, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they wait, for they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Yahweh. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. Thou therefore, O Yahweh, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors." Selah. Again, brethren, be careful how you pray for those who refuse to obey God. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Yahweh, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Teresa and I were in Springfield the other day, and I mean, there were people riding in their own cars by themselves with masks on. Now, putting diapers on their faces? Diapers go on babies' butts, people. They aren't supposed to be on adults' faces. Yahweh is laughing in derision at the foolishness of people. People who refuse to submit to the laws of God. And now, because their sandy-based foundation worlds are crashing, he is in the heavens laughing at them with derision. "Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. Oh, friends, here it is. Let them know that God ruleth in the commonwealth of Israel unto the ends of the earth. But where is the commonwealth of Israel? Where is Jacob? Where is Abraham? Where is David? If Abraham were alive today, would he be cowering in the corner with a diaper on his face? How about David? Killed lions and bears as a young man with his bare hands. Killed a 10-footer with a sling and a stone. Would he be cowering in a corner with a diaper on his face? And at evening, let them return and let them make noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they not be satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. So let's put diapers on our faces and confine ourselves to our jailhouses and sing about the land of the free and the home of the brave. Teresa told me about a new saying going on with the U.S. It's now, divided we stand, united we fall. And absolutely, that should be their new motto. Bill Gates announced this week that things will definitely not be the same when he decides that the lockdown will be lifted. Fauci said it's possible the little kiddies can get back to school this fall, but they'll not recognize it. Their solutions will be mandatory vaccinations. I think it's funny how that just a couple of weeks ago, Gates said that a vaccine for the coronavirus was at least 18 months away. And now this past week, they said vaccine production has been occurring at light speed. Well, imagine that. All right, let's get back to some serious business again. I've told you in the last couple messages how that I've been encouraged by the numbers of people that have been listening to the messages, downloading the books, etc. And I am. I mean, considering the message that I preach, I mean, I'm actually amazed at what I'm seeing. By the end of the day last Sunday's message had been downloaded 128 times. I think that's fantastic. Considering the fact that Yahweh rarely used large numbers of people to accomplish great things for him. I mean, I'm humbled on one hand and excited on the other. I mean, it's getting to be almost a daily thing now to hear from people that I didn't even know were listening write to me and tell me how their perspectives have been changed from the Matthew 24 series. I hear from all age groups, men, women, and young people. I'm encouraged. I was reminding my wife of the story of Gideon this past week. I mean, Gideon started out with over 30,000 soldiers. And then Yahweh sent most of them home after they failed the first test. And I can see Yahweh sitting there looking at 30,000 plus soldiers and thinking, thank you, Lord. Let's get busy with these 30,000. And then Yahweh says, send a whole bunch of them home. Gideon, we've got way too many. Each time a test is given and those that failed are sent home until Gideon is left with a whopping 300 men. But not to fear, Gideon. Yahweh is with you. You mighty man of valor. Well, I've been hearing from many people. I've also been hearing from people asking, what should we do? And some of the answers are easy. I mean, for instance, we should be an ecclesia. Okay, sounds easy enough. We sell everything we have, each of us, come together, look at purchasing some land, and we all move to the generally same area and live happily ever after, serving Yahweh and his laws as a nation of the Commonwealth of Israel. I mean, that's easy, isn't it? And we all should be able to get our places sold tomorrow, and we should be living together by next weekend, right? I mean, no one said that this was going to be easy. I mean, the talking part is easy. But as simplistic as that is, and though logistically it sounds insurmountable, that is still, I mean, still what we should be moving towards. We should see as the ultimate goal, physically living in closer proximity with citizens or with other citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. That should be the ultimate goal. But the reality is, we're years away. We should have been doing this years ago. We should have been the nation we're supposed to be years ago. But because we've been misled for so long, many are just now getting their minds changed and open to truth. That has to take place before the physical changes occur. So what can we do today? I'm going to share with you a little of what's been on my mind for several years now, and mainly because of the war that's been declared on me. My eyes have been opened more in the last 5 years to quite possibly some things that I should have done in my own life that would be benefiting me now in the war that I'm in. As most of you know, and there's been a movement going on in America for at least as long as I can remember. I mean, my earliest recollection is the 1970s, but I know it was going on way longer than that. But there's been a, quote, patriot movement that's been going on for a long time. And as you know, I do not buy into the patriot movement. I'm not a U.S. citizen. I'm not a Missouri citizen. I'm not interested in seeing the U.S. or Missouri return to their original organic constitutions. I do not believe the solution to men's problems is a return to their original organic documents. Now, I agree. There are a few things in some of those organic documents that appeal to me. For instance, in what they call the Declaration of Independence, I like the sound of, quote, governments are instituted among men and they derive their powers or their just powers from the consent of the governed. Okay, in its original state, now that still doesn't work for me, but the concept that men have a choice in their government, little g, or in their government, capital G, that rings a bell with me. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Either follow Yahweh, God of Israel, with his laws, statutes, commandments, and judgments, or follow your fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, as they seek to follow the gods of the Amorites. Okay, I like that concept. I like the concept that every man has a choice as to who he will be governed by. I like the concept when men no longer approve of the government of their choice. In other words, when they realize that they made a huge mistake by not exclusively following Yahweh and being a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, they can throw off whatever their choice of government was and begin to walk in the government, capital G, of their choice. I like that. I like that even those who have chosen for themselves to serve the gods of the Amorites like their fathers did on the other side, all men have, quote, the right to peaceably assemble, to peaceably create civil government as they see fit, the best way to secure to themselves and their posterity, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I like that. Now, that, of course, falls considerably short when compared to the fact that Yahweh demands that his creation come out from among the governments of men and join as citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. That's a command. It's not a right. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's an essential aspect of faith. The faith of Abraham, the faith of James and John, of David, of Gideon. It's an essential aspect of faith. That system of belief based on the truths contained in the Word of God that ends up with saving faith. Salvation that comes from being led to the knowledge of the truth. We have a choice. We have a choice concerning government, but there's only one choice. Understand that in the old covenant world, Yahweh was the creator of all the governments in the world. He created good ones. He created bad ones. He created them all of them, even the bad ones, were operating under the authority of Yahweh. But in the new covenant world, there is only one government that is operating according to his authority. He brought down all the governments he had created in the old covenant world. No government exists today by his authority except for one, and that is the Commonwealth of Israel, the government of God, the ecclesia, the kingdom of God. Listen, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do we believe Philippians 2, 8 through 11? Where does this leave men's governments? What does the word name mean in Scripture? It means authority. No names are even allowed to exist in the New Covenant world because every name, every authority has been forced to bow to the name, the authority of Jesus. And every tongue has been forced to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the one who is supreme in authority. But today they aren't doing that. Yes, I understand that. Because in the New Covenant world, outside the gate, still, then, today, and forevermore. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There are always going to be those who refuse to bow the knee. But it doesn't matter whether they do it or not. God has already exalted his name. He's already declared that his name is above every name. And every knee and tongue is to confess that he is Lord. There is no room for anyone or anything else. Now they can keep on trying. They can keep on resisting. They can build their kingdoms and their governments, but they're built on rebellion. They're dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and lovers and makers of lies. They're not functioning in the power and authority of Yahweh. And they can enlist the smoothest talking, slickest haired churchmen they can find to try to make it so, but it will never be in the New Covenant world. All right, here's the problem. They've convinced themselves through their false religion that they truly are of God. And I believe that most of them really believe this is true. And they think that we, God's people, are commanded by God to obey them. They really believe that. And I believe we are way, way past the time where they should be educated to the contrary. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe God may be leading me to do. I'm not going to tell you today this is what you're supposed to do. I've already told you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to sell everything you have and move to a general location with other citizens of Israel and be the nation of God and have that done by next weekend. All 128 of us by next weekend. All right. I've come to the realization that war was declared on me by these men in their governments because they have falsely thought that I belong to them. As long as the children of Israel were in Egypt, it's safe to say that the pharaohs had decided that they owned the Israelites. When you read the story of Moses and Aaron going to Pharaoh and telling him that God said, "Let his people go," you can see from Pharaoh's response that the Israelites were slaves. The Egyptians felt as if they owned them. Today in the U.S., I've tried to live my entire adult life as a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel while still living in a land where others believe belongs to them. And I taught my children that they were to be citizens only of the Commonwealth of Israel. Okay, I am not required by my God to carry identification papers. He knows who I am, and that's all that matters. But there is biblical support for carrying papers that identify you as a follower of Christ. You can see this in Acts 15, Acts 22, Acts 28, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 3, 1, and other passages. So for many years now, I carry with me an identification card that I made. I carry it in my billfold, and it says that I'm a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. Now, understanding the history of ships and what it means to fly certain flags on ships, on vessels, knowing that cars and trucks are vessels and, quote, license plates are flags on the vessel identifying citizenship of the vessel, for many years, not because my king or his government had a law concerning, but I flew his flag on my vessels. Now, I said all that to say this. Those who have come against me have treated me and still try to treat me like I belong to them. I do not, but they think they own me. Those that are owned by them have paperwork that declares it. They have proof of citizenship with certificates and licenses and registrations. I'm saying all that to say this. I believe that in my life, specifically speaking for me, I very well should have notified them many years ago that I do not belong to them. If they think they have claim to me, they need to fix it. They need to remove me from their registry or whatever they need to do, but they need to take me off their rolls. See, for many years I thought, well, I've repented. I mean, God knows I belong only to Him, and I've lived my life that way. I don't have their licenses, their IDs, their registrations. It only matters that I'm right with God. And you know what? I still may be right about that. But for the last several years now, I'm feeling led to put together a document and send it to the people in their government who think that I belong to them and let them know that they're wrong about me. I think this would be a copy to the president, the congressman from the state that thinks it owns me, the governor of the state that thinks it owns me, and even the county people. And I'm seeing this not as permission from them to do anything. I've already been living without their permission for over 40 years, and I'm not changing. I'm not talking about asking them for anything. I'm talking about going to them and saying, Yahweh said, let my people go. It is sin and rebellion to my God for me to be thought of as a citizen of the U.S. or Canada or Russia or Australia. It's sin for me to be a citizen of the world. I've repented of that sin. Remove me from your citizenship directory, and the obligations of your citizenship. Now, if you don't let them go peacefully, you need to remind yourselves of the last time Yahweh sent his messenger to an earthly government and demanded that his people be let go. Remember now, and for those in their government that might be listening today, there is absolutely no biblical or historical account that the children of Israel laid one finger on one single Egyptian when they left Israel. Don't you dare say that Charlie Stewart is advocating violence against any man anywhere. I have never advocated violence against any man, and I'm not doing so now. There are a couple patriot groups out there who've been doing something similar to what I'm talking about, but of course, from the patriot perspective, and I'm not interested in that, but their concept has some things to look at. For instance, there's a man in West Virginia has put together a document that lists over 500 ways the U.S. and their state governments have violated the contract of their constitution. And on that point, they're correct. Now, I haven't read all 500 plus grievances, but I've said this before, quote, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. That's it. They broke the contract. When a contract is broken by one party, the other party is no longer bound to the contract. That's been a universal understanding between men since men were talking to each other. You broke the contract, I'm out. On that basis alone, forget the other 499 grievances, that one alone is enough to void the contract. It's the con that gave them the, quote, power to create, quote, laws and statutes, taxes and regulations, etc. You broke the contract. It's null and void for this on this principle. The patriots involved principally are correct. Now, I view it a little differently. God said, let my people go. We have failed miserably at being the Commonwealth of Israel. We've disobeyed our God. We've not lived up to the terms of the agreement. We repent. Now we have to break any perceived contract that you people thought we had, and we're going to go and we're going to be the people of God, and you leave us alone. I believe that they must be put on notice that we belong to Yahweh. We will follow His law, statutes, judgment, and commandments alone. We're supposed to be citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel, and with or without geography, we're going to be the people of God. We don't commit murder. We don't steal. There's absolutely no need for us to be under their statutes. They don't apply. We then need to act like we are who we say we are. If we've got cars with their titles and registrations, we need to send them back. Tell them to remove their registrations. Tell them to take us off of it. If we've got property in the county, we need to tell them to get it off their rolls, out of their registrations, birth certificates, licenses, send them back and demand to be removed. But aren't we asking for trouble? Well, friends, trouble's a-coming, whether we're asking for it or not. Are you taking their mandatory vaccine filled with God knows what abomination that's in it? I'm not taking their test. I'm not taking their vaccination. I'm not taking their chips. Hey, they can only demand those things of their citizens. It's not, quote, against the law for a Canadian citizen not to obey U.S. statutes. The statutes only apply to the citizens. They are obligations of citizenship. You know, I think it's interesting that in my response to, or in response to my messages, I've had, you know, a handful of people reject fulfilled Bible prophecy. I had more than a handful reject the teaching on church. Well, I should say object to, not reject. But there have been some objections. But do you know how that I've not had one objection to the teaching concerning the Commonwealth of Israel? Not one. I mean, it's irrefutable that the book, God's Word, is a book about Israel. It is irrefutable that the new covenant has a nation, the people of God, 1 Peter chapter 2, clear as anything can possibly be in the Bible. And Ephesians 2 names those people of God the Commonwealth of Israel. Yahweh never said this was going to be easy. But friends, what's easier? Staying a citizen of the U.S. and being treated like a rebellious stepson and forced and beaten into submission because U.S. citizens obey or else? Or putting on the whole armor of God? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Think about it, the fiery darts of the wicked. What better example? This is more understandable and appropriate, possibly, than at any other time in my life. We're getting ready to have to deal with forced mandated vaccinations at the end of the fiery darts of the wicked. And we've been given the armor to stand against and quench not just this fiery dart, this needle, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. But we must put on Christ. We can't live like Judah did in Jeremiah 14, then all of a sudden ask Yahweh to save us. Why do we think that we're better than Judah was in the sight of Yahweh? Is it because churchmen have convinced us that all we had to do was recite the, quote, sinner's prayer, then Yahweh will treat us differently than he's treated anyone else? Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is far more appealing to me, knowing that all I have to do is put on Christ, then stand and let Yahweh fight the battle. Yeah, that's far more appealing to me than the alternative. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Yeah, the crown of life is far more appealing to me than the alternative. So what do you think? Anybody out there willing to explore this with me? My name will be the first one on the dotted line. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, Yahweh said, let my people go. Are there any more out there like Moses and Aaron in that day? Are there any more Joshuas and Calebs out there today? Hey, how about even a Martin Luther, a churchman no less, who nailed the paper to the Pope's door? How about any Ananias, Azariahs, and Mishraels? Any of those out there ready to stand and say, go ahead, heat up the furnace 7 times hotter if you want to. But whether or not God saves us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of faith, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.